We'll read first and then we'll have a moment of prayer. Ask God to bless our time.
Amen.
We're going to start reading in verse 6 and understand that I'm picking it up in the middle of a prayer that Jesus Christ is praying to his Father. And he says in verse 6, he says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. And I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. That thou, those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, that these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
And then verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And let's bow and ask God to bless. Lord, we come before you in your presence. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us the opportunity to be able to have another conference, another year.
Lord.
And Lord, things are still happening and you're still using us. And Lord, we just are very thankful to have been in your service. And we look forward to what you're going to do in the future. I pray, Lord, for these meetings, Lord, especially the one tonight, Lord, that you'd have your way in each speaker. Lord, it would not be the speaker, but it'd be you speaking through your word, touching the hearts of people. Lord, do what we can't do. Lord, move people like we can't move them. And Lord, we need you. We need your guidance. We need your challenge. We need your wisdom. And Lord, we are completely dependent upon you for everything that we do. So today, Lord, we want to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I read a long passage, and unfortunately, in the 30-minute slot, there is no way that we are going to be able to open all of the issues and all of the doctrines and teachings and inspirations that are in that long passage. But I did read it to give you some context. I want to focus there on verse 18. He says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And so we have a prayer here where Jesus is specifically praying for his men. That's what we've seen there in verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. So we can look at it one of two ways. Either we can see that maybe he's praying specifically for those disciples that were following him very closely and leading him, following his leading and listening to his teaching and applying what they've learned. And this is his prayer to prepare them for what's coming ahead, because he is going to physically leave and they're not going to see him anymore face to face like they did before. And so this is probably a prayer that pretty much applies to them. However, it applies to all the ones that God has given him. And we know that because he says there in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So in this prayer, he was fully expecting that these these men were going to do what they were supposed to do, and others would end up believing, and in turn, others would believe on their word, and it's a progression that has been going on now since that time. And isn't it an amazing thing that men are still telling, and when I say men, I mean men and women, and they're still telling, and people are still believing.
Amen.
It's not done yet. It's not over yet. I know we can get discouraged sometimes when we see empty streets, when we talk again to a coworker, and we try to convince them of the truth of God, and we try to preach the gospel as best as we can and get men saved. I know it can be discouraging, but I'm telling you, people are still getting saved in this world.
Amen.
Not over yet, and so that is very encouraging. But there is a comparison made here, and it's maybe not even a comparison, but a contrast, because in verse 15, he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And then in verse 16, it says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And so we have a situation where these men are no longer part of the world. They have been separated out from the world, not geographically. Understand that we are still here geographically. I don't have to remind anybody that we are still in the world. Do you know that Christians get caught in rush hour traffic? Just like everybody else, we are in the world. When there's a storm, the storm hits the Christian's house just like it does the non-Christian's house. When there is trouble and disease, you know, the rain falls on the just and on the unjust alike. And so we experience all of the frustration, all of the heartache, all of the dangers and downfalls and pitfalls of this physical world, because Jesus, when he says we're not of this world, he didn't mean that he removes us geographically. I know some Christian groups have made that mistake, thinking that God wants them to remove themselves geographically from the world. And so you see groups of Christians that go way out into the country and they start their own little communities and they try to keep things going. And I remember early on, I call her Mama, Judy, Judy and I, you know, we had some land, so we were interested in gardening and self-sufficiency and things like that. And so we decided, you know, that we were going to go visit this one group called Brazos de Dios, Arms of God. It was up by Waco, and it was a self-sufficient community. You know, they made candles, and they did all that kind of stuff. And we were kind of interested in that self-sufficiency thing. So we went up there and looked. And sure enough, you know, they had their own deal going. You know, they did a barn raising, and they had their own food, and they trained their children and all of this kind of stuff. And it was very interesting. You know, they had their own thing. I was talking with one of the elders on that trip, and I said, what is your biggest struggle and frustration in living like this? Because they had like 300-400 acres, and they had maybe 20-25 families. He said, our kids don't want to stay.
Yeah.
And our kids have a drug problem. I was astounded. It was backed up by a brother who runs boys' homes, and I was talking to him, and he said, among the Amish, one of the big problems is crack. And I thought, you know, here's the deal. You remove yourself geographically, you are not going to remove yourself from the evil. The men's hearts are still prone to wander away from God. Men's hearts are still evil. God never meant us to remove ourselves geographically. Now, there's some geographic places that you need to remove yourself from. When I got saved, I removed myself from bars. No good thing happens in a bar. I thought at first, you know, I can go and I can drink a Coke and I can witness to my friends, but the music's too loud, the skirts are too short, and my Coke was in the same glass as a JD and Coke. There was absolutely no difference. It was a waste of time. So remove myself geographically. Besides, I removed myself geographically from the temptation. So yeah, it doesn't mean that there's never a time when you can't, no, that you gotta separate from some things. But God never meant us to be out somewhere by ourselves in our own little tight closed community. He wanted us to be in the world.
Amen.
He wanted us to be working in the world. A brother came up to me one time and he was so depressed and he said, Brian, he said, man, he said, I'm going to look for another job. I said, well, you got a good job. And he said, yeah, but there's no Christians there. I said, so when has that been a requirement of a job? I thought a job was you work and you get paid and then you take that money and you pay your rent and you buy your car and you buy food and you do all these things. And besides, if there's no Christians there, what a perfect place for a Christian. Right there. The flashlight is for the dark. You want to be light? You got to be light in a dark place. And he said, oh, said, yeah, but we experience hatred, don't we? John chapter 15 says, if the world hates you, it hated me before it hated you. And we maybe experienced some of that. Some cultures more than others have experienced the absolute hatred. And you've seen it before. You have seen people just completely come unhinged and angry. Remember Madeline Murray O'Hare? Oh, she was angry at any mention of God and Jesus Christ, and she absolutely hated Christians. You know, we can experience corruption too. Our bodies are corrupting, our possessions are corrupting. That's part of this world.
Yeah, amen.
And here we are. We just experience it. But God wants us to be in here and part of this world. Just look at one verse. I've got a lot, but I only got 30 minutes. Look at Romans in chapter 8 and verse 21. Romans 8:21, he says, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. I never thought that that verse was very precious when I was 21 years old and in perfect prime health. But we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That's what we're waiting for.
Amen.
That's what we're longing for. We are in this world, but you know, we are not of this world. It says over there in the Gospel of John in chapter 7, he says, in verse 6, the first verse we read, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest me, and they have kept thy word. So he has taken us out of this world. We're not of it anymore. You realize that this isn't our home anymore. This isn't our inheritance anymore. We're no longer a part of it. And look at 1 John in chapter 4, verse 5. I think some Christians have a hard time understanding that that they are not really a part of this world anymore. Look at 1 John. I don't know why I'm in James. Look at 1 John in chapter 4 in verse 5. Read verse 4 too. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Do you know that the majority in this world speaks of fleshly things? The majority speaks of things that concern this world. You know, if you get too caught up with this world, you're going to be depressed. You get too caught up with the things of this world. I remember way back, Christians were so depressed when Bill Clinton got elected. I mean, they were just so bummed out that Bill Clinton got elected. You know what? A president has no power to steal your joy unless you do it. I know right now, I say that because right now our presidential election and some Christians are coming unglued. What's going to happen? Look, how many presidents have we survived so far? And we're doing all right. You know, God is still on the throne. We're still taking care of things. We are not of this world. Yeah, vote who you're going to vote for. But you got to remember that the one that you ultimately serve is still on the throne.
Amen.
It's a mindset. God wants you to understand that you are not of this world. He said, they are of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. Verse 6, here's the distinction. We are of God. There's a distinction. There's a difference between someone in the world who is lost and those of us that have been chosen by God and are saved. We are of God.
Amen.
We are not any longer of this world. Makes a big difference. Some distinctions. You thought, well, what distinguishes a Christian? Well, hopefully not just their dress and their haircut. And you go into some churches and it is evident that they are very big on the outward man. That if you don't conform yourself, and I've had personal experience with that, I won't get into details, but of other churches where the outward expectations really hindered a lot of things. The truth is that we are not distinguished by just our outward appearance. We wear the same, we shop at the thrift store just like the Lost World shops at the thrift store, you know? We buy our clothes the same places they buy clothes. Hopefully we buy clothes that cover a little bit more than they do and are a little bit more modest. But we don't have special styles, you know? The pastors here don't wear, what did Dave Jones used to say? The Batman capes and the Superman collars, you know? Superman capes and the Batman collars, you know? We don't distinguish ourselves by dress, but there is some big differences between someone who is in the world and someone who is not of the world anymore. How about the fact that we have a new home?
Amen.
Hebrews in chapter 11, verses 15 and 16. Yeah. Hebrews 11, 15 and 16. And truly, if they had been mindful, and understand I'm picking it up in the middle of something, so forgive me. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they may have opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Look at Hebrews in chapter 13 and in verse 14. He says, here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. What makes us different is we are citizens of another city.
Amen.
We are citizens of a country. We are citizens of a kingdom. Do you know that God has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son? We are now citizens of a kingdom that has a king that will never be deposed. And I'm telling you, I am looking forward to that. Every year when I get my property tax statement, I am looking forward to that new city. I'm telling you, if you own property, you know that it just goes up and up and you got to protest and you got to get. But here's the thing is that you don't get too bent out of shape of where the things are happening and where, you know, kings are rising and falling. Don't get too caught up in it because we have already had, we got our passports, man. We got passports to another country. We're citizens. Do you know what that makes you here? It makes you a stranger. You say, man, I could never go to a foreign field. I could never go to a foreign country and be a foreigner. I got news for you. You're a foreigner right now, right here. You're different because you belong to a different country. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 33. Luke 12, 33. And I'm picking it up in the middle. You can go back and read the whole chapter. Good stuff. But he says, sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, do you know that we have a different treasure than the world has? You know what the world values? The world values money. Now, don't get me wrong. I value money, too. I can tell you money is really, really cool. It does all kinds of things, you know. It never underestimate how cool money can be. But I'm telling you, that's not our treasure. Do you know that God says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also? And I wonder if your treasure is in this world or if it's in another. Do you know that we can actually build treasure in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt? A lost man can't do that. A lost man has what he has right here on earth, and that's it. And believe me, I've been to estate sales. I've been to estate sales when somebody's passed away and their most precious possessions have a price tag on them, and then they have a line through the price tag and then a lower price. I remember seeing a picture one time at a garage sale at the rescue mission, and it had this old couple, and it looked like it from like 1900s, and it says, "Do you know who these people are?" And then underneath it, it says, "For $5, they can be anybody you want." Yeah, one day that was a special picture. Somebody special. I've said it before, go into the thrift store and see those trophies. Who buys trophies from the thrift store? With people's names on them. Yeah, our riches are not material, they're eternal. You know why we emphasize giving to the Lord? Because that's giving to things that are not going to pass away. You put your treasure in things that are going to last. And I tell you, the stuff in this world is not going to last. Judy and I have lived in the same house for, 1994. Actually, before that, because I bought that trailer from Brent when he went to the mission field. So 1985. And we're going through stuff. And I said, "Honey, you got to go through your stuff. We got to give away. We got to sell. And we got to pack." So she picks up one thing. Yeah, I remember this, and lays it down. Let me think about it, and picks up another thing, and I'm like, "We are going to be here a while." And I'm telling you, at first, you put things real tight. I had bubble wrap. Man, I splurged. I spent money, and I bought and we're wrapping little things and putting them in there. You know what we're doing now? I'm putting a box. I'm not even taping it. Throwing stuff in there. It's breaking as it's hitting the box. I don't even care. You've got to get out of the house, you know? Just stuff.
Yeah, right.
But isn't it sad that some people can't get the idea that their treasure is in heaven?
Yeah, right.
That there are true riches that have nothing to do with the things that you own here on earth?
Amen. Right.
Oh, man, give your heart to true riches, not to think... I think 1 Peter 1:4 says that we have an inheritance incorruptible kept in heaven for you.
For eternity.
That's right, brother. Oh, we could, do you know that we have peace that the world doesn't know anything about? Look at John chapter 14 and verse 27. John chapter 14 in verse 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." There's some people that need to memorize that verse. You're so caught up with anxiety and worry and doubt. You know, God gives peace that the world has they have no clue. They have no idea. The indwelling Christ can work in your heart and give you peace that the world doesn't know anything about. The world has peace, but the world's peace comes from if my situation's pretty good. You know, if I got the job and kids are doing good and I got some friends that I can fellowship with on the weekends and maybe go out and fish a little bit and, you know, I can have peace, you know. I remember a member of my family said, "You know, as long as you have your health, you have everything." And for years, I believed that. I'm like, "Oh, man, as long as I have my health, as long as I have my health." But let me ask you a question. What happens when you don't have your health?
Right.
See, God's peace can give you peace even when you don't have your health. These are the kinds of things that distinguish us. These are the kinds of things that show that we are not of this world, that we are separate from the world. We've got to think different than the world. We have different priorities than the world. We have different things to live for than the world. We know the Savior who the world doesn't know anything about. They see statues and they see representations and myths and stories made up of Jesus Christ. But we are sanctified through His truth. I give you a warning that we are warned not to love this world. I can bring that up. Look at 1 John in chapter 2. 1 John in chapter 2. He says there in verse 15, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17, if you didn't understand this, this is true, that the world passeth away and the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, James chapter 4 and verse 4 says that if you are a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. Be very careful what you put your heart into. Be very careful what you decide to love. Be very careful what you decide to give your life to. And I know that the world is impressive. I was watching a show, and Jay Leno has this car collection. That this car collection is absolutely incredible. It is amazing. It is insane the number of cars that he owns. But, and so very impressive. And you think, man, the amount of money and the time. And he's very, very proud of his car collection and gives tours and shows people his cars. But when he dies, it will mean absolutely nothing. Corruption. It's anything that you can see, feel, hear, and touch, it's going to burn. Amen. Don't put your heart on it. Amen. Use this world, but don't abuse it. Amen. Don't be a friend of the world. And I'm not just talking about physical possessions, but look at Romans in chapter 12, verse 2. Why am I reading these verses? Because Jesus says, you are not of this world. Amen. In Romans 12, 2, it says, be not conformed to this world. That's not talking about your physical possessions. That's talking about your mindset. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you know you have a responsibility as a child, as a man and a woman of God that is not of this world anymore, you have a responsibility to transform your mind so that it thinks on earth, on godly things. Colossians tells us, don't set your affection on things on the earth. Set your affection on things above. Amen. You can change what you love. Do you know that? Some people think love is this mysterious fairy dust that just attacks you. No, talk to young men. Oh man, I just saw her for the first time and my knees went weak and I fell in love. Well, I understand that because the first time I saw Judy, my knees went weak. Luckily, I was infatuated with a woman that happened to be very good character and very good quality, but don't just think that because some feeling comes over you that all of a sudden, oh, we're in love. That's how men leave their wives. You give a vow to a woman and God takes that vow seriously. Men, you ought to take that vow seriously. And I know things happen in life. Things don't always work out. I understand that. But where you are right now, if you've given a vow, keep your vow. It has nothing to do with what you feel. You see, the love that we have is far different than the love that the world experiences. And so almost forget why I was given that illustration. Because the world has a different mindset. The world is tied to their emotions and to their desires and to their lusts and to their all of that stuff. And if it feels good, do it. That's not of God. You've got to think different. How do you end up thinking different? How do you end up thinking more like God? Very, very simple. Become familiar with His Word.
Amen.
It's very simple. There is no mystery behind it. There's no mysticism. It's very simple. So there's a warning. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't become a friend of this world. Don't love this world. Love the things of God. Get interested in the things that God is interested in. And go back over there to John chapter 17. Because there's a reason why we've covered some of this. Because he makes a very simple statement. He says there in verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even though have I sent them into the world. Do you know that Jesus Christ has called us out of this world? We are no longer of this world, but geographically we are still in this world because God has sent us here. We're here by His command. And I'm not just talking about missionaries on the foreign field. I'm talking about everyone in this room that is born again and saved. You have been called out of the world and God has sent you into the world to give His message. The Lord Jesus says, as the Father has sent me into the world, then I send you into the world. That's how it works. Do you know how people find out about God? Is men tell them. People that know God lift up their voice and they preach and they tell and they witness and they give the Word of God to people that don't know. That's how the Word of God is propagated. God has sent us into the world. This world is wicked. This world is antichrist. This world is temporary. It's going to pass away. But I'll tell you this, that you have been called out of the world. You're different in the way that you think. You're different in your priorities. You're different in your destination. God has cleansed you of your sins and He's given you a new hope and a new life. And how dare you go back and live like the world? When He sent you back into the world, not to live for the world, but to live for Him.
Amen.
As I have come into the world, and aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ came into the world?
Amen.
Aren't you thankful that He condescended to become a man? Can you imagine the perfect God, the holy and righteous and glorious, condescends to become a man and walk on this earth with us? But He did this. And He never once sinned, and He became the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And He's given us innumerable lessons while He was walking on this earth. And then He gives us the opportunity to believe on His name.
Amen.
And maybe you've called on Him. Maybe you took advantage of His offer.
Amen.
And He didn't ask you to fill out an application.
Amen.
He didn't ask you to go to college first. He didn't ask you to take a PT test to see if that you could handle it. He freely gave you eternal life.
Thank you, Lord.
Freely. Because He came into the world to save us.
Amen.
And then what does He want from us? He wants to send us into the world to tell other people what He's done for us.
Amen.
Don't live for the world. We sing a song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through.
Amen.
I'm telling you, this world is not your home. This world is a temporary residence. This world is your mission field.
Amen.
Every single person in this room has a mission field. And whether we support missionaries on the foreign field or here at home, we are responsible to represent Jesus Christ right where we are.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.